restore yourself and feel relaxed. So I invite to sound the bell so that we can start. So, dear friends, so today it's a nice day today, and I work in plowing 4 hours. It took me at least 4 hours to plow the snow. So here we have like more than a feet of snow, so it's quite deep. I plow, you know, the stair and everything, and work until 12, plowing snow. And luckily we have the plower trucks. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you cannot come in here. You know, the snow is quite high. And I enjoy my day lots. Working, but enjoying, not just working for. So when you work and you enjoy, then time fly by fast. You not feel. I hear like mostly on the weekday by myself. I enjoy walking around and arranging the house and do many other things. And working by yourself, and it's easy for you to practice too, you know, and no, not disturbed by anyone. And you try, and I try to make my work as a practice and pay attention on my works. Because when you work like that and nobody disturbs, and easy to incorporate the practice. And I think that is the best way. So sometimes we live here, we don't have much time in our society. Even though you live in the mountain, you still have to work. I think during the Buddha's time, all the monks, they just spend time practicing. I don't think they work much. But they work different work, not work for physical work, but they work for internally, you know, internalize their mental formations, and working now and live for like with many people. You have to work a lot. You know, imagine that your family is small, and then you still already have a lot of works internally, you know, because everybody cries mentally. One people do one thing, and other people don't like it, you know. And that's very tiring, you know. Sometimes you work a lot, but you're not tired. But when your idea is conflicts or collision, and you become your energy drain out very fast. This is the same thing in community too. In the community, if we work in harmony, then it's feel much peace and supportive. But if the community in collision, then everybody's energies run out fast. I experienced that in the communities. I live here alone, but when I went to Vietnam, we lived like 150 monks every day, you know, eating in a big hall every day. And we had to take turn and cook. Nobody, you know, we don't have any nuns to cook, any lay people come and cook, and all the monks, we have to take turn and cook. That's why I learned how to cook. And each time we cook 1 week, and about 4 or 5 people on the team, and sometimes we get collision too. And then it's a lot of work for 150 people every day, you know, like lunch, breakfast, lunch and dinner, and we eat by bowl. You know, we have to serve on the table. We don't eat. It's kind of complicated. You know, we have to put on the table. Here we put like self-service. It's easy. It's less work. But if you serve everything on the table, you know, you have to take a lot of time, a lot of people to do that kind of works. Self-service is best. Yeah, you like whatever you eat, and you know, and it saves the food too. Because people only, if you practice mindfulness, then you take only the food that you need, you know, and as much as you need. Sometimes on the table and the leftover, you know, and you put them, sometimes it's a waste. And it takes a long time to clean up and to do other preparations. So live by yourself is simple, but in a community, big community, you learn more, learn a lot. But you have to be like patient. Be patient and open to take whatever is come, because a thousand ideas. When we collide and collapse, and energies run out quite fast if we don't work in harmony, even in a team of four or five, and one people is not agreeing, and they just do and just like dead corpse. Yes, mm-hmm. just do, but there is no mind, no intentions, and nothing. You know, they just, and it's drain our group energies. So working mindfully and harmoniously, then you can gain a lot of support, and you can gain a lot of energy to with our collective energy support or collective support. So today, last week, Gretchen do on the mindfulness presentations, and she talked quite a bit on the discourse on the four establishments of mindfulness, a Satipatthana Sutta. And today I just want to go a little bit further on the breathing, because mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feelings, and mindfulness of the mind, and mindfulness of the mental formations. And we can spend months on this one to go, you know, detail and the practice. You know, we talk, because this is what the Vipassana study is about. To study the body, the feeling, and the mind. And mind here, sometimes people see the word mind or consciousness or awareness. Also split two for the word. And then the objects of the mind, we call Dharma. So the word Dharma,
there is two words, like regular word, Dharma. So when we say, we use the word Dharma, when we write, we use the word Dharma, we refer to the teaching of the Buddha. And this Dharma is referred to all the mental formations. Everything's, the table is the Dharma. We call Fab.
O is Fab. And the word capital Fab here is referred to the teaching of the Buddha. All the teaching of the Buddha. And also Fab. And all phenomena is called Fab. And they say all phenomena are all things. So the flower is also a phenomenon, right? And also a Dharma. And a house. So this word can be very confusing too. When I beginning to study the Dharma, and I confuse myself about this. But slowly, as we practice, as we contemplate on the teaching of Buddha, and then we become very distinctive, see, clearly understand what the Dharma means when we say something. So we don't get confusion. So I think that's my confusion, so I just want to make it clear for all of you when we see Dharma, all things.
So Dharma here is the object of the mind, something that the mind can see, right? Our mind can see the table, can see the pens, the flowers. So that is all objects of our mind. So we call Dharma. So for our body, so today we are going to look at on the body, how to practice our body. Because without these bodies, we can't practice, right? Without this body, we can't practice. So in order to practice, we have to have some healthy. Our body should be healthy to practice. So for the first one, we're talking about the breathing, how that the breathing relates to the body. So when we get lost, our mind is got distract. And once we're able to take a mindful breath, then we're able to bring our intention back. So we bring the breath, help us to go back to our body. So that means we. So breathing helps us to go back to our body. So that's one of the means to practice. So for example, when you were thinking something else, your mind got distracted, for example, in 10,000 directions. So just for one breathing and with attention or with mindfulness, and you're able to go back, return back to your home right away. So that's why is the breathing helps us to relay to our body. And the Buddha teaching very focused on this. And sometimes we have difficulty with our body. I think many of us have difficulty with our body. Sometimes you hate your body. In the West, many people hate the body. And so the breathing helps us to reconcile ourselves with our body. Today we go in detail so that how for us to practice breathing and connect to our body. So the first one is to breathe with our body. So the breathing, that's what the function of the breathing. And the second one is to reconcile the breathing. To reconcile with our body. So if we don't mindful, and then with something we become our body, this is an object for us to hate ourselves. We run away from our body. So we don't have the ability to go back and reconcile with that. So the breathing helps us to come back. With a mindfulness breathing, it helps us to go back and reconcile with our body. So if our body were to get sick, how can we get healthy? And how come our mind get body healthy? So we have to reconcile with our body and work with our body. You know? Whatever I say, you know? And be with your body. You know? Because sometimes we are out of our body, because our body, that's why we say even the body is there, it's not alive as a corpse. So if we don't able to come back, then this can be a corpse, a walking corpse, right? Corpse with legs. If we hate our body, and we run away from our bodies. And how can, if you run away, how can we look for, we're able to be happy with ourselves if we're not able to reconcile with our body? So it's this is coming.
So, number three is,
so when we, our breath, able to come back and able to take a deep breath and calm breath, then we go back and we take good care of our body. So that's the practice. Because our body is our temple, very close temple. Because in your temple where you can be healthy, where you can find some kind of peacefulness. But the temple here is just only external, on the mean. And sometimes you just come here for a couple of hours on it. But your body is your temple. You've been with your body, you're with your temple for 24 hours. So that's the Buddha that said that your body is a temple, a small temple. So if you're able to take care with your body, your temple, then it's related to the temple outside. That's where you come and just learn and go back and take care of this temple, of your body. So it's very practical, it's very close, very practicable for us. We don't, something that we don't very far distant or distant ourselves. And this temple with us 24 hour days, even you sleep. If you have a well and deep sleep, then you take care of yourself. Even you can sleep for 2 hours a night. Monks, they don't sleep a lot. They sleep, for us, we sleep like 6 hours, 5 hours. But very healthy, because their sleep is very deep. Sometimes you sleep 8 hours, but you twist every night, you know, just you couldn't sleep. Your body is there, your consciousness, but you don't, your body don't totally relax and really deep sleep. So we learn way to relax our body, and we can able to go into deep sleep. Just you have a good sleep and deep sleep, and 6 hours is enough. Mm-hmm. And you can last for a long time. Here I don't sleep a lot. In a day, I don't rest. But at night I sleep not. The most I sleep like 8 hours is the most, but normally I sleep like 6 hours or 7 hours. But a well sleep. So it's a well to come. And you sleeping like that, your body is insane. You know, insane. Take good care. And after you got a deep sleep, and you get up, and the day becomes beautiful. Right with the moment you get up, you don't like dreaming stage. You're on a dreaming stage. You just get up right where you know, just lie there and twist back and forth. You know, just get up and do some, and give rise to beautiful, to beautiful thought right away. Start out your day like that. And that is how the practitioner they does, they do. And, and the fourth one is to understand your body. So if you take a deep breath to understand your body, if you don't understand your body, how can you understand your mind? You see? You understand your body is you understand all the elements in your bodies. The air, the earth, the flesh, the bone, and how your body functions. And once you understand and you mindful with your body, every move you make, it's become a deep move, a deep understanding of the body. Because you know that how the strength of your body, for example, you leave a certain things, and you know that your body couldn't stand for it, and you understand your body couldn't stand, so you're able to get some support from the external, from your friend. So that means you understand your body, you're mindful of your body, you don't want to enjoy your body, right? That means you understand your body, what kind of weight your body can take. That's how we understand our body. So you act, you make it the right move in the right time. So the first thing is to in order to understand your mind, you have to understand your body, because your body and your mind get very connected. Very connected. And later on, we will study about the feeling too. Once you understand your body and your feeling, later on, we will move into that. And once you understand your body and you make the good move and it's fit with your body, the ability and the weight and the strength of your body, the strength of your body. So that means you understand the health of your body. It's very important for that. So when you understand that and then you carry the work out, perfect. It's very productive. Productive works for your body. And you don't make your body like create a lot of agitation to your body when you understand to your body. For example, you know that you got thirsty, right? Your body need water to balance out all the fire. So for example, you're working on a hot day and your body is thirsty. So when you understand your body, you say, oh, I need some water. And then you refill, you take in the right amount of water. Sometimes we got thirsty and we put in a lot of water and your body is out of control. You see, you don't understand your body. Because you just take to fulfill the thirst and you just put in a lot of water. You think that you put in a lot of water, the body might take it. But it's not right amount, right? So your body going to suffer. Either you go to bathroom a lot, mm-hmm. and you go diarrhea or something, you know, that's to get it out, you know, to balance it out. So that's why understand your body is like that. So once you understand your body and you become less suffering, because our body is suffering because we don't understand it. So when you understand it, the amount of suffering is decreased. Mindfulness of the body, that's what we call mindfulness of the body. In fact, mindfulness of the body. So that's what I'm talking about, mindfulness of the body. We use the breath as a means to understand our body. So, for example, you breathe in and you calm your body. Once you become calm, then you look deeply into your body. Before your body is calm, and your mind is calm. Now you're able to understand. So that is the practice of meditation. Is vipassana, samatha, like calming. That is the practice of meditation. But you don't pay attention, but that is what you practice meditation is. It's meditation of the body. So that is the first practice on the body, is to samatha, to calm the body down. By using the skill for me of breathing. That is the skill, that is the mean to use. So we have the skill to using it, the tool to use, and then you come the body. And now you're able to look deeply what your body needs in order for you to, for the body to be less suffering. So the body might be needing food, right? But how much food to take in? That is another different mindfulness eating. So you don't say that, oh, my body needs food, and you put all kind of junk food into your body. Mm-hmm. That's what many people do. They say that my body needs food. They go to grab some junk food and, you know, just like your body is like trash can. Yes.
It's true.
That is what I see many of that happen around in our family. You said, oh, my body needs food. I just go, you know, get whatever, you know. And you don't mind food of your body. Or you don't mind food of consumption. And you make your body suffering. And you get eat food and hot food and you become pimple. After you eat and you get a lot of diamond. And your body gets suffering. That's how it is. And I've been very mindful of my eating. I don't have pimple. Eat food so that your body, you know, get very hot, you know, internally. And you don't want to be ugly, right? You don't want your body to be ugly, and you want to be, and then you have to be mindful. Yes. And that's how the practice helping us to be beautiful, you know, to be beautiful. So when you understand your body, and you become beautiful right away, you know what to put in. So it requires many factors here, many different elements to understand the body. Mindful of eating is to understand the body. Mindful of drinking, you know. When you're thirsty, you don't just go out and get the, you know, something very gentle, you know, very, you know, water is the best, I think. You know, I call water is like nectar. Mm-hmm. And so every time you're thirsty, you just get some water, cold water, or purified water, is the best, you know. But if you need some sugar, some kind of sweet, you know, it's something natural like. Carrot juice, for example. You know, it's healthy. You need some sugar to calories to work, for the body to work, so you know what to take in, what to drink. You don't just, sometimes you think that you buy the cheap kind, you save the money. No. In the long run, you don't save money because you ruin your body, you ruin health, and you have to pay for medicine. Right? Yeah. 17 years, I didn't go to the doctor. One time I go check up, I have perfect.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I have a perfect record. I just checked a couple months ago. Everything's good. Yeah, so we pay attention to our body. Mindful of the body is like that. Mindful of the way you walk. Because if you don't, we walk under tension, you can trips, right? And your body gets injured. And we get handicapped sometimes, you know? And mindful is save a lot of money. Mindful of the body save a lot of money. First thing, if food, you eat less, it's healthy, you save the medicine, you save your time, you don't have, you go to a doctor, at least you take half the day of the day. You know, you have to go there and wait for the doctor, you have to make an appointment, some, it's at least, sometimes you call for a doctor appointment half an hour, it's, you have to wait. You have to go on the phone half an hour and to make an appointment, right? And the next day you have to spend some gas, right? To go there. And you know, half of the day. So it's a lot. It's costly. So mindful of the body is able to save. That's a lot of time, a lot of money. So when we look deeply, we see how much we can save when we practice understand our body that way. Mindful consumption, mindful drinking, mindful of washing, the thing that you wash also very important for your body. Because what you wash can provoke the desire, worldly desire. And that's harmful for your body. And we don't know that. Many of us, we don't know that. Harmful for our body. And when we consume to those things into our body, and we are sick. And then we have to go to the doctor. So that's why the Dalai Lama say is, you know, he's shocking. When there's one person asking him, what is the most shocking you about human? And he said, I'm very shocking that human spend a lot of time to work and earn money, and then later on, they have to use that money to buy back their health. That's what our whole life for, working for. So if we understand our body, and we do mindfully, so that's what he's shocking him, and then shocking us too, you know. We spend our whole life working, and working for food. Food, I mean, for our body to consume. And we consume in the wrong way, and we get our body sick, and now we have to go to buy insurance, and we'll see a doctor, and spend our money, and buy back our health. So that's body madness. And the fifth one is to allow transformation in home. So once our body get injury or sick or ill, then we have to know how to rest. so that our body can get some transformation and healing. And this is a referral to the number fourth one, understand our body. So when we understand and we know what to do to when our body is sick, because it's, the body is impermanent, you know? But we know that it's impermanent, but if we're able to work it and take good care of it, then impermanent taking process slow, right? This table is impermanent, but we need to take good care of it. It will last long, you know. If we don't, you know, we don't take good care of it. It can last for a year or two, but we're able to take good care of it. And every time, you know, if you see, oh, we stand again and again, this can be last for a year instead of 2 years. So our body is the same. If we're able to take good care of our body, we can live healthy. But healthy here, and then we can live long. Some people get long, live long, but they don't live healthy. Maybe they get sick. And once they get sick, they become grouchy. And grouchy, and they create suffering for themselves and for other people around. And as our body aging, if we don't practice, we very itchy. And we are very easy to get grouchy and very easy to get itchy. For anybody come encounter us, this can be an obstacle for us. And then we become very grouchy, very angry. And first, then when we become grouchy, is who's the first person to be suffering? Yeah, we. And we're itchy. So normally we don't know that, we don't pay attention to that. We don't know that we grouchy, we are the first person to be suffering. We thought that when grouchy, we thought that the person, who come and come to us is suffering. No. We are very ignorant in that, in that area. It's the same thing when we say some itchy word or some harsh word, we thought that we punish the other people. But the Buddha say, you are the first one to be punished. Right where you have an agitation feeling in yourself at the moment, right away. That means you have punished yourself already in the moment. Nobody punishes us. No God. And sometimes we blame God. We say, God, God, or Buddha. No. So we practice mindfulness, we know all that. Nobody punishes you. You punish you, or we punish us. So when we are mindful of our body, we practice those five things I just share with you. So allow you the time and space to come back and reside with yourself when you are mindfulness of your body. And don't run away from your body. The Buddha always encourages to come back to work with our body. But if we don't know, we live in forgetfulness, we live in ignorance, and we run away. And the more we run away, the more we are suffering. The more we feel lonely, the more we feel despair. And the more we blame it. We run away, it's not from ourselves. So mindfulness is, breathing is help us to bring us back. And the practice is when you are breathing, just give yourself a moment and breathe. Step back. This morning I'm working on the truck, and the truck, you know, and the plow, and then the, you know, turning the gear is very hard, you know, it's all hard, and the gear is very, and I got angry at the gear. You know, I tried to, you know, change the gear many times, but the gear is not working. And I stop. I sit. I don't do anything. I don't react. So at that moment, I come back. I know that The gear is nothing. You see, the gear is, it's just like, you know, a still. And why do I angry at the gear, you know, the still? It's so ignorant, you know, so stupid, you know, to be angry. But we are so stupidity in that, you know. But I'm able to stop, you know, and come back, you know, and see. Because I try to be rushed, you know, hurry. So that's why the gear is not move as fast as my thought. You see? And because I just back up, I just move, like, because it's old gear and it needs some lubrication. So, and then we understand that. And I say, oh, why are we so stupid? You know? And then and getting myself something. That's how we do it all the time. How we do it all the time to ourselves. Our thought is running before our act. We can do the work, we can take the actions. And then the action is not followed enough, it's not fast enough, and then we get angry. The same thing. When you cook and you try to get the water, and the water in the process is small, and then it takes slow, and then you're angry at it. You say, why are you running so slow, the water? You're angry at the water. Right? Yeah, that's and because our thought is too fast. And that. But if we're able to slow down and then take a step back and breathe, then at the moment we're able to lessen the suffering right away. So that's good. Lessen the cost right away. So the breathing will allow us to do that. That's just the tool, offering without any cost. You know? Without any cost. The breathing is no cost for us, any cost for us. And it's a tool to help our body, to work with our body very effectively. And something that we think that something is not cost, then it's not value, not validity. See? And that's how we train in our society. You know? Giving free and we say cheap thing. We don't take it. Yeah. And we just try to run to find something cost, but it's actually it's cost for our, you know, like efforts and more trouble for us. And when we look back at that and we see how smart Buddha is, he have everything, but he say that cheap. I have everything. It's beautiful wife in the world, but cheap. And palace. My attendants, thousand, hundred of girls attendant. And he don't take it. He's smart. He say, what I have in myself is value. That's he's smart, you know. He's a revolutionist. So when I contemplate and then I did discover many things from the Buddha every time I meditate. Look at his mirror and say, he's a human like us, and he's so smart, nobody can distance. And we have that. After he enlightened and he said, oh, sending me have that kind of smartness. Whether they use it or not, that's up to them. And then he said, I better show them the way, you know. They are used to show them the ways to use their smartness. And because of his love, his compassion, I don't want to be, you know, I discover the way, so, and I discover the way to use my smartness, but I don't want to use it by myself. That's why he tried to remove the caste system in India. Ignorance that built up that caste system. Thousand, million of people, trillion of people suffering. And people try to dissolve that. But it's hard. It's still innate in ignorance in the people already. So it's really hard. You can see that the Indian people, they have their own house in their own country. They have their own people discover the way, but they don't use that. See? They don't use that. In Vietnam, I'm Vietnamese people, I use it. And you are, you know, we other countries, we use that. And that's what I'm saying is, we have things that in our house and we don't use, we overlook, underestimate. The same thing like the Indian people. So what I want to say is that we have, but we underestimate, we overlooked. So coming back is we have our body, so we overlook our body, underestimate our body. So that's what I'm trying to come back to. Isn't that like we, when we hate our body, we run from our way? It's the same thing in people, they don't have that, have the Buddha, but they forget the Buddha. And we have our body and we forget our body. That's what I wanted to say. So the Buddha showed us the way, you know, to be mindfulness of our body. So that's his first discovery, to be mindfulness of the body. It's to this revolutionist and revolutionary, you know, big discovery. And even in India today, many practitioners, they torture their body. They pin nail into the body and they do all kinds of stuff to the body. You can see on the movie, you can see the Ganges rivers. Some of us travel there and see that. So we have to know how to use our body. Doesn't mean what I'm saying here doesn't mean that we have to attach with our body. No. We have to know how to work with our body. Body, Buddha say, as a rough. This body is rough. It help us to carry. So for example, you are a passenger. You need to cross the river. So we have to use the raft. Because the river is big, it's turbulence. It's a lot of disturbing, chaotic. So we have to use the raft to get to another shore of the river or the ocean. So the Buddha said that the same thing as our body. So once the guest or the passenger, they get to another shore, they have to leave the shore or the raft on the shore and walk, continue the walk, right? They don't create, and Buddha said that some people, they carry the raft and they say, I might need it. And they just carry on the raft and walk on the desert. And the desert is too long. And they can die, and the raft is kind of heavy. So they just continue to carry. So the same thing what I'm saying here is that if we attach to our body, the same thing that we, the passengers, already cross the shore and carry the raft, continue to carry the raft. So we have to use our body in such a way to help us to liberate, to get into, to be free, to liberate. So when we're talking that, we don't mean that we talk and we attach to this body all the time. We know what to use and how to understand our body to attain. Our goal is to liberate, to be freedom. So somebody, they walk, but they don't walk. In this body, it can be a freedom, but at the same time, it can be a prison. Can be a prison, but it also can be a freedom. The Buddha used his body to work as a free person, right? Even the Bodhisattva. But for many people in our society, they use his body as a prison and do many criminal things, and they go into the prison, right? The same body, composed of water, wind, earth and air, four elements. The body of the Buddha is the same. It had to be composed of earth, water, air, and fire. Same body. But he able to use it as a freedom. So body is air rough. So we take care of the body, but we don't get attached to that, and understand the body, so that the body can... there's an inside of the body. The body we call body insight. 对, yeah, về cái thân thể của mình. So body's insight. So use your body in such a way that you can live freely, joyfully, peacefully. Don't use the body in a way that you are become a prisoner. So we have to look deeply into our body. Our body can be an ocean that contains many jewels, but the same as contain many violent things also. Thân thể có thể là chứa nhiều cái châu báu, many jewels. But at the same time, it's thể chứa những cái bạo động, can be violence also. If we know, we don't know how to use it. People use this body as to kill other people, so, right? But at the same time, if we mindful, then we can use this to benefit many beings, many beings around you. First is to benefit yourself. And then you benefit the people around you. If your body is healthy, you can do a lot of works. To benefit yourself and benefit other people. So the five things that I'm talking about is that if we are able to do that deeply in every day, then we can able to benefit ourselves. If we can do that five things, and we can benefit ourselves. If our body is healthy, can do a lot of beneficial things. Because we have the mindfulness. That's why our body can do things. But otherwise, we live in forgetfulness, then our body become a dead body, a walking corpse. We have many walking corpses in our societies. If we don't be mindful, we are as a walking corpse. We don't talk to other people. When we say things, we reflect our body. You can see that. And then if your body is, sometimes your body is painful, is some kind of pain in your body, then go back. Take a deep breath and embrace that. Embrace that. Because you care for it. Embrace. Take a deep breath and embrace that. And when you take a deep breath, you calm and you know what to do, what kind of medicine I can take for my body. You don't overtake the medicines. Sometimes you feel pain, you feel, and you take a lot of medicine, you think that a lot of medicines, and you kill your body. That's why people suicide. They take medicine and suicide. Instead of healing your body, now we're killing our body. So if any of you have experience in like working with the body, so that's why when we do total relaxations, like every time that's why I try to equip that part of the practice is important. For example, if we sit a lot, and our body feels pain too, and we need to balance that out. So that's why in the middle of the day, we have full relaxation. I plan something that a minute for you, for our body, to relax. So when you relax here, I go upstairs and relax. I have to relax too, and to work. So the middle of the day, after lunch, your brain need to, all the blood need to go to your stomach. Work. So you don't do thinking right away. You need to relax and let the blood go to the stomach and work. And you relax.
So our practice is to go back and to our body and work with our body. And that's where we discover many beautiful things when we work with the body. The body, like the Buddha, at first he was a 6-year ascetic. Right? 6-year ascetic. And finally he discovered that, no, I cannot touch my body. You know, one day he just only eats one sesame. What's sesame? It's very, how can you can survive the body survive the body? One sesame. One seed of sesame. So after 6 years, then he realized that that's not the right way. To touch my body, I cannot get enlightened. My body can be dying slowly. By the time my body is dry out, my bone is dry, my blood is dry, I will not get enlightened. So he go back, realize that. That is his first enlightenment, you see? It's the first enlightenment. To balance us. So we go to the river, Genji River, take a shower. To refresh his body. So when we study about the body, the mind, we reflect back to the body, to the Buddha, how he practiced. Because what the Buddha Jesus, out of his real personal experience, personal realizations, his own realization, he don't talk something about mechanical or theory. All he talks something that he lived with. He practiced with and realized with energy. So when I go back, I see that it's really true. When you meditate, you look at the image of the Buddha and contemplate about his practice. So that's why his teaching is not outdated. You know? Not outdated. True throughout time and space. Because of really direct experience, personal experience. And it's practical. Every time I sit down, I see so many practical of his teachings. His teaching is to transform. The teaching is to transform and heal and hear. So he tried to transform his suffering and heal his body. So that's why even Vipassana today, they focus on this. On this kind of teaching, and not to focus on this, but the practical aspect is they put into practice, real practice on that. And if you put that into practice, you will get some transformations. But on their, they do a lot of sittings, on Vipassana sittings, through the day. Many sittings through the day. But I think we try to balance it out. Working with different things, but we do different activities, but still focus on the same practice. So we can balance it out, the body and the mind. And you don't get bored. But if you got like sitting all day, at the end of the day, you got so bored. Yes, I'm serious. I when I was in Vietnam, we sit like 2 hours each time. In Vipassana, they only sit 45 minutes or 1 hour. In my tradition in Vietnam, we practice 2 hours. And sometimes I got so bored. Not bored, but tired. The body is so tired. If you don't got the real... But in 12 sitting, if you don't got any peace, you're so tired. Your body is so tired. But at least if you... And it's so long, if your body, you got so tired. And at the time, 2 hours, you can... like it's a year. You're just waiting, you know, for the time to invite the bell. You know, just waiting for the bell to invite. It was so painful. But if you got, if you really got into concentration, you got into peace, and then 2 hours fly by 5 minutes. But really hard to get in that state. Yes, I realize that. But if you're able to do that, and then you're not able to get into the states of concentration, drive into that, then 1 day doesn't matter. 2 days doesn't matter. Or 2 hours doesn't matter. But how many people can get into that state? So begin, we have to balance slowly. We lead people into that slowly. So when they're able to make 2 hours without any thought of, you know, waiting, then it's okay. But not like you be like in prison. In prison. And you touch your body, you know, sit full lotus. Oh, 2 hours. I experienced that, so that's why we sit only 45, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes for you guys.
Thank you.
So today I just want to talk on the body, but to go deeply, different detail and different experience, so you can see that and put that into applications. What I share with you, I don't want to share with you only like theoretical, or, you know, and don't get some practice and transformations. I think that's the benefit. Most the benefit is to listen, and all this you can go on the website and read, and stay home and go back. Yes, I'm serious on that, you know. So we come here is to share some real experience and experiment together. So when we practice together, and if we have some kind of when we practice, then difficult and arise in your body, in your mind, and we come and we share that. That's what is make the group coming together is benefit. So if you learn and you don't practice and you don't taste the teaching, and you can learn, you can study for 100 years, and you got no transformations. And one day you will be a witch. Yeah, I'm serious with you on that. I'm able to survive this day. That means I really put my heart on the practice. And I share with you what I practice, not just share with you what I don't practice. And I hope you do the same. At least one time a day or 2 times a day, you have think about that and put that into your practice. And make that is part of your life. You will see the difference. But if talk just to talk, then you will not see the difference, and you will not see the change in yourself. And you will change in your life. So that's what I want to share, just one for the body today with you. I think the body is a part and part of our practice. You're able to be mindful with your body, and you can be walking the whole day. You're not tired because you know when to rest. You know, so you work for a couple of hours and take a cup of tea and relax and recharge your energy. In that way, you can work a lot, and your work is be very productive, and you don't get bored of your work, and you enjoy your work as part of your practice. Okay, so. Thank you for your listening. So, you have any question? Just think on that. You know, if put that in your application, and for you to share on that. See. Okay, so we'll close our talk here. We'll do our sittings. So today in our sittings, I would like to ask you to ask. Pay attention to your body. To your way of sitting, to your posture. I didn't talk in, if I have time talking, I would like to share something about the posture, you know, like the posture. Posture here is like walking, standing, sitting in line. That is also mindfulness of the body. So, so today we will do a sitting meditation, and you know, it's one of the postures. Four postures, but sitting is one of them. And pay attention to sitting. Sometimes you sit, you feel comfortable. Sometimes you don't feel comfortable. And so if you pay attention, so you can change your sitting, your way of sitting, so that you can feel comfortable in your body. Once you able to be, your body is comfortable, and easy for you to go into concentration. if your body is not comfortable, then it's very hard to get into the stage of concentration. So next time we can talk about some walking, posture, standing. So the Buddha is like mother. He teaches all kind of detailed stuff for his disciple. So we call Buddha as mother. Okay, so we invite the three Sadhu Bear. We can conclude our talk here. And